Hello and welcome to Industrial Talk. This is a special edition. We were broadcasting live from the 29th annual SMRP conference, and this is a live recording from that particular event. And I want to put on your calendar this year, 2022, the 30th annual conference, and that is going to be held on October 17th through the 20th, and it is going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. So put that on your calendar. The event in St. Louis was absolutely spectacular. And if you are a professional focused on asset management, asset reliability, this is an organization for you. That is the SMRP 30th Annual Conference, and that is October 17th through the 20th in Raleigh, North Carolina. All of the contact information will be out on Industrial Talk, so stay tuned. Let's get on with the conversation.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, you industry professionals, welcome to Industrial Talk. We are broadcasting live from the 29th annual SMRP conference here in St. Louis, Missouri. Wonderful venue. Incredible professionals just in reliability, in maintenance, wandering around and just being great, great individuals. And we're also, Industrial Talk is brought to you by Fluke Reliability and Accurint. Now, what does that mean? So I go out to flukereliability.com. And then there's a little blurb here that says, provide maintenance and reliability professionals the data to do the job asset by asset wherever they are. Trying to argue about that one. That's important because they do important work. And reliability professionals are great individuals. And also Fluke or Accurint. If I go out to their website, it's solutions, real estate, facilities, and asset management. Gain the insights to transform how your organization manages its physical assets. Another statement that you cannot argue about. All right, in the hot seat for this particular event, for this conversation, Chris Colson. He's with Allied Reliability. And we got a great conversation. Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
This is good.
Good to be here.
Hey, you having a good conference?
I'm having a great conference. This is actually my 13th year coming.
No kidding. I've
been with Allied for 16 years and been here.
And front door.
I've been a part of a number of different committees that I've served on over the years with SMRP, so I really, really enjoy this show and love talking.
I just enjoy... the individuals here who are passionate about what they are doing and trying to keep that asset up and running and doing and being asset doctors, right? And looking at, and that's it, man. You're looking at a patient. The patient could be a pump, but you're trying to determine what the challenge is, keeping it healthy, whatever up. It's a very if you're considering a profession, consider reliability and maintenance, whatever it be, either or. Help me define the difference. Maintenance are the ones that deploy the solutions. Reliability identifies maybe the challenge, said, hey, maintenance, go out there, you'll need this. We've got a bearing failure. Is that sort of the line of demarcation?
I think that's a great way of explaining it, Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys that have their hands on the equipment, they know the equipment, they know how to fix what's wrong, but they need somebody to prescribe. Sometimes they don't have the insight or maybe the background to be able to say, specifically, here's what we need to do to actually get better performance out of that piece of equipment or fix it in a state that it can give us at least what it was designed for or maybe even better. And that's what the reliability engineer, I think, brings to the game.
Jeez, if I had to do it all over again, I would definitely consider this profession because it's quite collegial, most definitely. Now, we had this conversation. And the conversation rolled around, yes, there's great, the technology's out there, the sensors are out there, things are available from a technology and innovation perspective, but that's all fine and dandy, but if you don't have the right culture, people, or whatever it might be, it's not optimal, that's for doggone sure. Can we start to explain a little bit about that and why that is so important for organizations to sort of nail down?
Yeah, let me give you some of my thoughts. And I get the opportunity and pleasure, having worked with Allied, and over my career, I started out as just a reliability engineer in the field, right? Yeah. My background, and I think it's a little bit like yours. I understand you used to be an electrician, a lineman
baby, right? Journeyman, lineman, splicer. I did it all.
That's right.
There it is. I ran crews.
Well, thank you.
Yes, me.
When I started my career, I knew I wanted to be an electrical engineer. So while I was going to college, I was also working as an electrician, and then got to be a licensed electrician, got to work with an electrical mechanical contractor in the state of Indiana, one of the largest privately held ones, and I got to get involved in design work of high voltage equipment. So I get kind of what you did in the field, and I got to see that with some of our team, and then got to work with them from a design perspective. But as I transitioned in the career with Allied and on the reliability side, over the first few years, I was out implementing projects and helping organizations get the right equipment strategy, and not just understand the equipment strategy from a failure mode based, but what does it mean from an execution standpoint? And I, one of the pieces that I've been able to, as I've elevated and moved on in the career and got to work with organizations and their leadership team, was really talking about, you know, we could throw lots of different technologies at it, but have we first of all identified how we're going to change the behaviors of either the operations team, the maintenance team, and the overall culture to really drive a change that lasts? Too often, I think we get into a hurry of just fixing it and getting back up and running.
Yeah, that is a unfortunate reality that exists out in the field, and you're absolutely correct. I'll give you an analogy of exactly that, and I don't point fingers at anything, but it is just the realities. When we had a hurricane come through, power's out, our only focus, consumer, get the power back up. So the professionals in the field are just trying to throw it up. They get it up. Do they ever come back and say, hey, I just sort of got this up to get the power going, to get the ACs going, and so they never come back. And so that same thing can be applied to any organization where, hey, you got to get this thing back up, we got to do it, we don't have time, get it. And so then, you know, they bubblegum it together possibly, and then they forget about it because there's another thing.
Yeah.
And that's not the culture you want.
No, not at all. And so over the last 4 years with Allied, I've been able to work with leadership teams and really work with them from a standpoint of putting in a governance process around any of their improvement projects that they're going to implement. And that governance entails what are the expectations from everybody that's involved in this initiative. And when you look at that from an organizational standpoint, there's people like health and safety, environmental and safety. You get the finance department involved because they have a piece, and HR. HR is the folks that are recruiting the people and the skill sets that we need to be able to implement. So we will put what we would call a cadence of accountability around the execution of this initiative, and then it crosses the entire organization and every function within the organization, and clearly identify what everybody's roles are, how often we're going to go back and report on the status update. And it's not just a, like, did we get this and that done, but are we ultimately driving for and executing on the strategic pieces that enable us to really get the full benefit out of the reliability initiative?
So you're saying, from a governance perspective, it incorporates, this body incorporates all aspects of that organization.
That's
from
right.
Executives, finance, IT, you name it, all the way across, and get everybody to buy in on the vision, to support and be champions of whatever this initiative might be.
Right.
Is that sort of...
It is, and I've heard a number of different colleagues of mine, and some that I work with through the committees that we serve on here at SMRP, that work with some of the other reliability solutions providers like Allied. And sometimes we will toss words out like that governance piece. I'm very specific, and I like to kind of promote that. You got to be concise. If you're going to ask an executive in his seat that, you know, what is his role, you can't give him the whole spiel about maintenance and reliability. You've got to narrow it down. What's within his realm of control, and where do you want him to be involved? And give him those pieces of information that he's going to act upon every single day or every single week.
See, and I like this because the reality is that I've seen a lot of, raise your hands if you've had a reliability initiatives fail, right? And it always gets down to what? It always gets down to people. It rarely gets down to the technology, blah, blah, blah. It's always getting down to that real passion and support by the executive team, whatever it might be. And I like how that, you start there, right?
Yeah.
That's it. You know, somebody will chirp, we need a reliability program. We need to do a better job at our maintenance, and that means we got to do X, Y, Z. That's all fine and dandy, but you need to start there. And I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, if you don't get that buy-in, if you don't get that support, don't even go. Don't even go forward.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of wasted effort, time, but more than anything, it continues. If you don't get that effort, not only are you wasting people's time, but you're continuing to drive the culture in the opposite direction of really what organizations want to go, right?
How many organizations have you ever been to where they said, we've tried reliability?
Nearly every one of them that I walk into, right?
That's right.
And then you've got it. What's different? What's going to be different this time?
Yeah.
Right. And it's, well, because we're going to get a chance to impact you.
And, you know, the right? sad part about it is the simple fact that it makes sense. It's good business.
It is. And you get back to it, though. You have to be able to tie all of those things back to helping them. From an executive perspective, how's this going to better the company? How am I going to get shareholders in excited about this?
You have to. And do you ever pull in that safety component? Because it is a safety conversation.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Typically, when we go in to pull together a business case, one element of that business case is looking at the overall safety of the organization. How many safety events have they had? Are those things directly correlated with work that's being identified within their work system? And if you can see that I have often, when evaluating safety incidents, it's hard to find where they've captured what they've done to correct that from a standard working position within each day of there, right?
So
do I see that safety incident led to not only a root cause analysis, but did it change the way that they're executing the work in the field? And it's tough to find that. And typically because they've not pulled it all together and linked them.
So it's important. We all establish that. This is, I believe, very strategic for businesses to truly nail down that culture, have that governance structure, that strong supportive governance structure. What I also find is that some people just get overwhelmed. Where do I start? Why? How? You know, it can't be big bang. What do you recommend people to consider? Here's the elephant. Yeah. Where do we start?
Yeah. So, what I've seen work pretty well, Scott, is when we still start with the people. We start with understanding. What's my current process overall to drive the reliability? But more importantly, how do the people fit in and do I have the right skill sets? And that's where you have to work very closely with HR and put together individual development plans for every person in the organization that's going to help support that reliability initiative. We like to start there because ultimately you need the people to be able to execute and you need everybody aligned. So we start there, we put the governance piece in place, and then you start focusing in on the technologies, right?
Yeah.
Because it's then when I have all of those pieces in place, I've got the right people with the right skill sets to execute and change the behaviors and execute the correct work, then bring it on. Load me up with information from technologies, right?
There's been a lot of buzz, conversation around training, resource development, and also the challenges associated with finding people. And there's been a real concern expressed. Do you find a clear, concise strategy around training allows people to sort of grab a hold of the vision of what you're trying to do and something, I don't know, just something more career-driven as a less, whatever. Do you find that?
Yep, I do. And if you allow me, I'll share an experience that I've got to be a part of this year.
It's about you anyway, Chris. What the heck?
I was working with an organization, and we were talking about just this topic about training and building out IDPs for their entire organization. And when I say their entire organization, we were going across multiple business units, and they've got around 65 to 68 plants worldwide. We developed a 3-year program for every one of their maintenance technicians, whether it's electrical, mechanical, their supervisors on the operations side as well as their maintenance side. We, at the beginning of we've all been dealing with the COVID situation. And so when we first started talking about this, we were going to be on site. We were going to be delivering that training curriculum and pulling people in. We were kind of tossed a curveball, just like everybody else. What are we going to do? We can't just stop. We want to do something.
Right.
And so we broke those sessions up. We delivered all of them virtually for the first year. We delivered 3 different courses, and we touched 520 people within their organization.
Yeah.
And we brought them in 2-hour sessions. 2-hour sessions over the course of about a month to be able to get through some of the first classes. And that first class really is, what's the overall strategy? What's the vision? What what benefit and what's in it for me to be a part of a reliability initiative? And we touched on that from every position. What benefit are they going to see? How does it make their life and their work better? And then also, how does it drive pride in, to the overall organization? So we're like, man, I am happy to work here. And I see that the company is investing in my future. That was, you know, we started to see that change over the course of that first course that we delivered. Yeah. We got feedback from VPs as well as the guys that are in the field executing the work, and to saying, I think this is going to work. I love the bite-sized pieces. I love you guys conveying the overall strategy and how I play into that strategy and where I can actually advance my career. I know what it's going to take to get to that next level, right, within the organization. So
yeah, and you've touched on, I mean, I love that buy-in. I love the fact that they can determine and say, yes, I see my role in this initiative. I see it. And so I can play that role, and I can play it to my best ability. And I don't know, man. I think you guys are doing great work out there. I think companies just have got to continue to do this.
Yeah.
No matter how much pain, no matter how much, I mean, get training. Come on. How do people get a hold of you, Chris?
You can reach out to alliedreliability.com, take a look at our website, or send me an email at colsonc@alliedreliability.com.
You're a professional. You've done this before, it seems like, man. My gosh, it's incredible. All right,
well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. And also, remember, we're broadcasting from the 29th Annual SMRP Conference in St. Louis, where the best of reliability and maintenance reside. It's a fantastic time. Also, I want to just give kudos to Accurant and Fluke. Go out to Accurant.com, as well as Fluke Reliability, and find out more. Great people, great company, great solutions. Thank you once again for joining Industrial Talk. And fear not, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, and a hearty thank you to Chris Colson. Allied Reliability is the company. I'm telling you, you need to find trusted individuals. Chris, trusted. If you are in the market for reliability, maintenance, improving your maintenance, asset management, you need to talk to individuals like Chris Colson, Allied Reliability. Also, if you are in that profession, SMRP is a must. Now, the 29th annual conference was a fantastic event. This is 30th. It is October 17th through the 20th, and it is in Raleigh, North Carolina. It is a must-attend event if you are a reliability professional. Great, great venue. All right. To change the world, you need to hang out with people like Chris. So hang out with him. All of his contact information will be out on Industrial Talk. And also, you need to continue to educate, collaborate, and definitely innovate. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned.